And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the Coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by United American Bank, your friendly community bank. United American Bank, offering simply better banking in Half Moon Bay, San Mateo, and Redwood City. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, Coastsiders. This is Jim Hawley, and I'm bringing you another interview with somebody making a difference on the Coastside. Recently, a new library for Half Moon Bay was approved with the cost underwritten by a bond strategy referred to as lease revenue bonds. Our guest today, community member David Oblovy, has a concern with the use of lease revenue bonds. Today, we can find out why and hear a proposal from him to see that such a strategy is more carefully reviewed by the council in the future. David Oblovy, welcome to Coastside Radio, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM.
Thank you very much, and thank you for this series. It's immensely useful for the community.
So, David, you've got a concern with a strategy that was used to fund the new library. Could you tell us about that, your concerns, and maybe go into what we could do in the future?
Sure, Jim. The library was funded or has been approved to be funded with something which is called lease revenue bonds. And in a 10-minute episode, we're not going to get into the nuances of lease revenue bonds. The best example I can give of the risks inherent in lease revenue bonds is a city in Minnesota that is actually bankrupt because of a lease revenue bond issue that they issued for a athletic center in their city that did not generate the revenue that they had predicted. The next example I can give, and one more locally relevant, is the city of San Jose, which after a series of lease revenue bond issues that they got clobbered on, voluntarily, and think about this for a second, when was the last time you heard a legislative body voluntarily restrict their powers? And what they did was they voluntarily put a restriction on the city council which says if you're going to issue a lease revenue bond, you have to have a supermajority of the council to do so. That is what the initiative that we have sent forward to the city in this past week does. All it does is change the vote from 3-2 to issue lease revenue bonds to 4-1. And the idea behind that is lease revenue bonds are a riskier way of issuing debt. We're not trying to restrict the city's ability to do that, but we are saying if you're going to do it, we want to make damn sure if you're not going to get the voters involved that you have at least a supermajority of the council that feels that this risk is worth taking before taking it.
All right. Now, you say you've given a document of some sort to the city council. You filed a document of some sort. What's that about?
We filed an initiative packet, which is very similar. People will remember Measure E and Measure F last year, the Main Street Bridge Preservation Act. It's the same thing, essentially. It's a packet that has a proposed change to the Municipal Code of Half Moon Bay, which we will gather signatures for and which will go in front of the voters, assuming we get enough signatures, will go in front of the voters in November.
Okay, now you mentioned this lease revenue bonds. Are there other bond strategies that could be used to fund a public project?
Absolutely. My focus isn't really on trying to push the city to issue general obligation bonds, which would be the traditional way that infrastructure is built, is you put it out in front of the community, they vote on it, and then they have a property tax assessment for whatever the improvement is. I'm not really personally trying to push them in any particular direction. What I'm trying to do is simply say lease revenue bonds could potentially put the city in bankruptcy in the future, and if you're going to do that, we want to make darn sure that at least 4 out of the 5 council members believe that it's a worthwhile risk to take.
I guess it's from my education, so connecting the dots here. Lease revenue bonds apparently don't require a vote of the people like some other bonds.
Correct. Lease revenue bonds are really, and this word is pejorative, but essentially they're a scheme that was invented between Wall Street and the state of California in the mid-1980s. And the reason they did this is because the state wanted to build more prisons, but they couldn't get people to vote general obligation bonds for building new prisons. So they came up with a scheme, again, and I don't mean that pejoratively, but it is a scheme whereby the legislature could issue these lease revenue bonds. The prisons would generate revenue, and that's why it's a scheme, because the idea of prisons generating revenue should make your eyebrows go up right there. But that would allow them to essentially fund the building of prisons when the people didn't really want them to fund, or they couldn't get the two-thirds majority required to issue general obligation bonds.
Okay, so what you're saying, at least what I'm interpreting of what you're saying, is that when you have a lease revenue bond, there's going to be some income possibly generated from the project that'll pay off the bonds. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. The lease part of the lease revenue bond is a lease from the city or the agency to the operating authority, and the revenue is whatever that project would generate. A good example would be a bridge, for example. If you used an authority to build a bridge and issued a bond based on that bridge and then charged a toll to go over the bridge, that toll would be the revenue that would pay off the bond issue. In our case, we have no lease and we have no revenue.
I was going to say, how much revenue does a library generate? A fine, some late books, or
that someone else made that comment recently, and I have to laugh. I mean, yeah, libraries don't generate revenue; they consume revenue. And the new projection on the library for maintenance costs a year is between $250,000 and $300,000 a year. So not only is it not going to generate revenue, it's going to consume revenue at a much greater rate than it does now.
How will these bonds then be paid off?
The general fund, essentially the city's checking account. And this is what the proponents of the library in this case are very focused on, the idea that the city's going to pay off this loan within 3 or 4 years or 5 or 6 years. I'm not sure the exact number. And they're very optimistic. And I get that. And that's fine. What they don't look at is recent history. In 2009, our TOT tax, we only took in $3.2 million. This past year, we took in $6.8 million. And they're looking at the $6.8 million and saying, woohoo, we're going to pay this off quickly. That's fine unless we go into another recession in 2 years. If the RITS revenues drop by 25%, whether they cut their charges or whether they do that much less business, that 25% just from the RITS would cost us the library. And that's the single point of failure that I don't think you should build into a city without, again, having at least a 4-to-1 majority on the city council.
Okay, so it sounds to me like your concern doesn't have anything really to do with the library. It has to do with this funding scheme and how it can be quite risky.
As far as the initiative is concerned, that's absolutely correct. I mean, I have concerns about the library as well, but those are ancillary to the reason that the initiative was filed with the city.
Okay. So could you tell us a little bit about this proposition process? You say it goes before the voters. If all things go well, when would we see that?
Well, what you're going to see in roughly a week and a half, you're going to see people out collecting signatures. We're waiting for a document to come back from the city attorney, which is the ballot description, and then we put that on a signature gathering sheet, and then you're going to see people out gathering signatures. If we gather the required number of signatures, then we submit those to the elections, Board of Elections, and it's placed onto the November ballot. And then it becomes just like any other proposition. It'll be given a letter, and there'll be ballot arguments for and against it, and then people will vote on it, and a 50% plus one would pass it into law. It would amend the city's municipal code. Very simply, two paragraphs, not even two paragraphs, that just say, before issuing any debt that hasn't gone in front of the people, you need a 4-to-1 majority.
Okay, so it's essentially a change in the city charter.
Not so much the charter, but the municipal code.
Oh, the municipal code. Okay. Another question I would ask you, how many signatures do you need? A few hundred or?
Round number, 650. The number changes a little bit here and there, but we'll probably try to collect in the neighborhood of 1,000 to 1,200 so that there's a buffer, because they will go through and they will check the signatures, and if we miss, then we're toast.
Okay, good. And is that the number required? Is that based, I would assume it's based upon the number of people that vote. Is that
correct?
All right.
Correct. It's a percentage of the people that vote.
And how will you collect these signatures?
Actually, I want to go back. It's a percentage of the registered voters in Half Moon Bay, not the number of people that actually vote.
Okay.
We can go door to door. John Lynch is somewhat famous in this community for being planted out in front of New Leaf. And happy birthday, John. So there's a variety of ways that they will be gathered, but functionally by getting face-to-face with people and asking them to sign the petition.
Okay, so our listeners might see John Lynch with that crazy hat of his in front of New Leaf or Safeway.
Entirely possible.
Or knocking on your front door.
I think if someone's knocking on your front door, it's probably not going to be John Lynch. But
all right,
sure.
All right, very good. So do you have any sense in terms of you as a community representative, and I know you're quite active, do you have any sense of how this is going to fly? Do you think it's going to be approved? Or
without wanting to jinx it, and here I'm knocking on the table, I think it's going to be approved by a fairly wide margin. And it's just very simple. We're not asking to rewrite anything. We're not trying to stop the library. All we're trying to do is say, if you're going to issue this kind of debt and ignore, you know, let's go back in time for a minute to last year when Measure O was placed on the ballot, specifically linked to the library. All throughout town you saw signs, new library, Measure O, new library, Measure O. They couldn't get 50% of the people to support that initiative. My take on that is they have not put a library project in front of the people that is compelling enough to even get 50% of the people to vote on it. Until they do that, until the proponents of the library do that, I think they're going to have a very hard time overcoming the initiative and the inertia in the community to hold them to a more reasonable spending scheme.
Now, if people would like to know more about what you're doing and this proposition, the whole process, who can they contact? Is there a website or is there a phone number?
There is no website, and there most likely won't be until it's accepted and placed on the ballot. Right now, we're going to be in signature gathering mode. Once 3-4 months, maybe we'll sit again and I can give you an update, but then we'll have more information. For the moment, until we gather the signatures, there's nothing to really discuss, quite frankly. As far as the library is concerned and funding mechanisms, that can all be found on the city's website. So I encourage people to go there if they want to look at this stuff for themselves and make their own decisions, which is what they should be doing. It's all there for them to do.
David Oblowy, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Co-siders, you've just heard from David Oblowy. David is a community member with a very important concern and a proposed solution. This is Jim Holly with Co-side Radio. Thank you for listening.
For a democracy to work, there has to be citizen oversight of government at all levels, from Washington, D.C. to City Hall, Main Street, USA. Our thanks to Co-side Radio correspondent Jim Holly for this News in the Making interview. And that's our feature story of the week. This is Jim Henderson, thanking you for joining us.